Oh, yep.
There we go. We're on.
Open Yay. Zoom meetings. Hooray.
Hooray. Now you can see me in my dressing gown.
Outstanding.
For someone that works for Telstra. Hey.
Hey.
All yeah, right. That's better.
I do not want computer audio. Yes, no, I want to continue with that audio.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Nice. Oh, I've got the little, like, hoodie thing going on too, so.
Perfect. We're both we just matched. Like.
She has done it by herself.
Here's the lady of the day. She's going to enjoy this moment.
This is fantastic, racist.
This is the Love Women Cycling Podcast.
In this month's episode, we talk all things off-road with Bryony Maddox and Ella Blore from our Specialized Women's Racing team. This podcast is definitely pro-tree hugger friendly. Bryony even talks about being at one with nature. No, not that kind, but the wallaby dodging, native bird spotting, mud splattering kind. In fact, both women eulogize about the freedom of off-road. As soon as you are off-road, all those nagging, unwritten cycling rules just disappear and you feel so free. Cycling becomes a relaxing pursuit, remarks Ella. Just as long as you wear black socks, that is. We've all learnt that lesson the hard way. As well as sock tips, Ella also coerces Bryony into sharing her favourite off-road adventures, local and overseas. Make sure you have a pen and paper ready. There are some must-dos in there.
What was the temperature in Sydney today?
So I had a ride this morning that was mostly 1 degree to three degrees.
Bloody balmy up there.
Balmy, yeah. Beautiful sunrise and, no frost. We haven't had frost yet, so.
Yeah, I think that's maybe global warming, but I don't know.
how is the temperature in Canberra?
We had -7 this morning, which was disgusting. Yeah.
Does the water in your bittens freeze?
It does. Okay. And then you go to drink and like the suction is just like, you're like, this is weird. And then you're like, oh, my bottle's frozen. That's why.
That is disgusting. Oh my God. I wouldn't survive. I'm too soft for that.
Yeah. No, it's pretty. That's kind of why, I don't know. I don't know whether you find it as well, but getting off-road in winter is really nice because it's not as, you don't feel as cold. You don't have the sort of chill that you get on the road.
You don't get the wind chill, definitely.
Sort of warm amongst the trees.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's definitely nicer up here because it tends to get a bit windy near the coast and you just don't have that off-road. So, but we've had a bit of rain, so it's been a bit mucky lately, which is, tests the skills a little bit more when you're sliding sideways when you don't want to be. So, yeah, Sydney trails don't really do that well in rain. It's all sandstone. It gets a bit of clay, so it becomes very slippery. But
Sounds great.
Yeah, so, everyone thinks you're a hero, though, because you're covered in mud. You're absolutely covered.
Oh, yeah. It's like that sense of adventure.
That's right. All right.
So we should officially, formally, properly start this podcast. You're listening to Ella Blore, which is me, and Bryony Maddox, it is you. Bryony, you're an endurance XC mountain bike rider. You've represented Australia. You've been to the ABSA Cape Epic, I'm going to say twice.
Twice.
And you work for Telstra and you're allergic to mammals.
all the fun facts. Yes, all of those are true. True.
Yeah.
I have been to the Cape Epic twice. I have finished the Cape Epic 0 times.
So tell us a bit more about that. What was attempt number one?
Yeah, so attempt number one at the Cape Epic, and keeping in mind this was a race that sort of like my number one bucket list race, and as a mountain biker for a long time, it's especially an endurance mountain biker, it's always been the one race that's sort of right up there with something that you want to compete in and finish.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a big bucket list race for a lot of mountain bikers, I reckon, even road riders.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of, you know, flagged as one of the hardest mountain bike races in the world, and like the field it gets every year without fail is unbelievable. So I think everybody sort of had just dreams of doing the Cape Epic, as did I. So I put in a good probably 6 months of training for my first Cape Epic with my partner Wayne. And we were absolutely dedicated, made a lot of sacrifices, got over to South Africa. I didn't have the best time, my first time in South Africa, sort of before the race. I ended up sort of having all my luggage damaged and my bike broken. I got pretty substantial food poisoning and ended up in hospital. We got robbed. So a lot of things happened before the race, but sort of
you're definitely selling it.
Yeah, South Africa's great. Cape Town's a beautiful place. I just had a very bad run of luck. Started the race though and absolutely nailed the first stage. Wayne and I were very much sort of there for the long haul. The first stage, the prologue's a very short stage. And so we didn't expect to do as well as we did on the first stage with the third placing. So everything had actually got off to a great start. And then somebody, which was me, decided to ride into a ditch at about 40 k's an hour early on into the second stage, where I broke my collarbone into sort of four major pieces and several minor pieces and ended up having surgery in Africa the same day. So
how is the standard of surgery in South Africa, I reckon?
Well, the actual technique, based on the Australian surgeon's advice, was that he did a very good job, my African surgeon. I was a little bit concerned by the fact that he wore a tweed jacket and smoked a pipe pretty much the entire time. So I'm not sure if he was smoking his pipe while he was operating on me. But
yep, yeah, very hygienic.
I did have a little infection issue when I got back to Australia, but I think that, you know, that can just actually happen sometimes. I did have private care in South Africa, and I found it to be very good, to be honest. But it was not a great situation. It wasn't the best trip I've ever had in my life. But I think, you know, as athletes, we've all sort of had some pretty substantial injuries at different times and had to spend time off the bike. And sometimes it really just makes you appreciate how much you love riding and how much you love competing when it's sort of taken away from you a little bit. So, yeah, it was a good lesson for me, a good experience. I look back at it now and I'm like, well, that was character building.
It obviously didn't deter you because you went back for 2.0.
I went back for 2.0, absolutely. Yeah, I did. I think it probably just drove me even more to want to go back to Africa and compete the race. And so this year I went over with Imogen Smith, who's another mountain biker based in Brisbane, like me, sort of a bit of an endurance specialist. And, we trained really hard and got over there, and it was cancelled the day before due to COVID. So we jumped on a plane and scrambled back to Australia as fast as we could. So, again, super disappointing. Although I think with this one, different type of disappointment, and given the global situation, I think initially you're a bit upset because you invest so much in it personally and financially. But given the circumstances and the fact that, you know, there are people out there a lot worse off, there are people that, you know, lose loved ones or lose their own lives and you can't race a bike race. So I think when you sort of, you have a little cry to yourself, but you put it in perspective and sort of go, oh, you know what, you know, at least I'm home with my family and healthy. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Good way to look at it.
Cape Epic 3.0 is yet to be determined, but third time lucky, right?
Yeah. So what do you love most about riding off-road?
I think I just feel at home in the bush, to be honest. I think that's the one thing that draws me to it the most. Before cycling, I used to run a fair bit, and I used to love trail running as opposed to sort of beating around the neighbourhood. I just like being out there in the morning when it's quiet and there's sort of wallabies jumping around and birds and all sorts of stuff, and, you know, getting yourself covered in mud and dirt, and the technical challenge of it's really cool too. I like that element of it. But yeah, I think the one thing that sort of takes me to it is just the fact that you are a little bit closer to nature. You can still be close to nature on the road, but yeah, the mountain bike definitely takes you some pretty remote places, especially those big sort of adventure rides like the ones you get to do in Canberra are just amazing. So
yeah, pretty spoilt down here in the nation's capital. I too love that sense of adventure you get. You know, you can be a couple of hundred meters from suburbia, but when you're immersed in sort of, you know, the trees and off-road, you just feel like you're completely isolated, and it's really special. And you know, I love getting off the road a bit and feeling protected in a way. Like on the road, we are very vulnerable to cars and that sort of thing, and it's nice to feel, to not have to think about that. You can really just switch off and be in the moment, which I love. Yeah.
And you've done some sort of bigger adventure rides recently on the mountain bike.
Yeah, started to clock up the Ks. There's an iconic trail in Canberra called the Centenary Trail, and typically you split it up and you'll do either the north side or the south side, which takes, you know, 4 or 5 hours each side. But yeah, I sort of challenged myself to do the entire loop, which is about 130 Ks of off-road bliss. So I feel pretty lucky to have that here in Canberra.
Yeah. And it goes through some pretty sort of iconic areas too, isn't it? I've done a bit of the Centenary, and yeah, there's some like really different terrain that you end up going through.
Super different, but all, you know, very rideable and great for all levels of riding, which I love about it. So you've told us what you know love about getting off road. What do you least like?
Do I least like the amount of bike washing involved? I think
yes.
I think riding in Sydney, there's a lot of sandstone and a lot of sand that ends up sort of getting right through your bike and right through your drivetrain, and I'm pretty conscious that sand and mechanicals don't go too well together. So, and especially the Sydney trails, like we do get a bit of rain here and there. The trails tend to hold a bit of water, but I do find sort of extended bike washing is something. I'm always washing my mountain bike, whereas my road bike, it can go a while without needing too much attention.
I feel the same. I feel like as soon as you look at your mountain bike, it just becomes dirty.
It becomes dirty.
I just cleaned you.
That's right. It looks so good when it's clean. And then, especially my new bike now is I got one of the new Specialized Epics.
I was going to ask. I wanted your rundown on the new Epic. I'm very jealous.
Yes. I've been waiting a bit of time for this bike to come out, so I was very excited. I think I was on the phone straight away as soon as I heard stock was coming into Australia. So, I've been riding the Epic for several years now, sort of 5 or 6 years. I've probably been on Epics, so I've been through a whole range of different geometry, from the really aggressive, really racy World Cup Epic from a couple of years ago that, it was fast. But for a rider like me, it sort of, as courses became more technical, I felt it became a little bit more hairy and a little bit more unforgiving. But the new one's just amazing. The way they've changed the geometry, I feel like it's stiffer in the rear, so it feels really fast, but it also tends to deal with sort of more technical terrain when you're going downhill a lot better due to the new head angle. So I think they've done a really good job actually in terms of how they've set it up and how they've really focused it on sort of the types of XC riding and the types of trail riding that's evolving. I think mountain biking's become, even in the time I've been doing it, sort of 6 or 7 years now probably, it's the level of sort of technical skill required has kept increasing.
It's totally evolved. I remember when my cycling sort of career started as a mountain biker back in the day, racing the under 17 national championships on a 26 inch hardtail with super narrow handlebars, and that was, you know, the way to go. And now you look at those bikes and you go, man, I could have died.
How did I ever get around on that?
Did
you have the bar ends?
No, I felt like they were too suicidal.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a friend get hooked around a tree and I just went, no, they're not for me.
I think I've always known them as tree hooks. I never went that far either. But, I think it's funny looking back at some of those old photos because I have exactly the same. I have a hard tail now, which I use for a bit of training, but it's just I couldn't think about sort of getting around these days predominantly on a hard tail, let alone one with 26 wheels. It just the types of trails that you ride are just I think we're probably a bit spoiled, but it's so much more comfortable and so much more capable on some of the newer bikes.
Oh, definitely. I think the only person I know who's still getting around on a 26-inch hardtail is my dad, who also has a new Epic on the way. So hopefully we'll get him onto a better bike soon.
That is a substantial upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless. Anyway, so you sort of mentioned training a bit. How do you find the balance between training on the road and mountain bike? Like even though they're essentially the same thing. You're riding a bike, but they're almost entirely different sports when it comes to the racing side of things. So how do you manage your training?
Yeah, I think I think more recently a lot of road riders are starting to find this as we're all sort of a bit more confined and we're stuck in our own states, predominantly training and not with a racing schedule. But I think riding both disciplines just gives you a whole lot more variety. Is probably the thing I like the most. So you can do more. You're not sort of doing the same road loops all the time when you can jump on the mountain bike and do something a bit different. So I like the way it sort of gives me variety. I think it also gives you a fair bit of different sort of sessions that you can do. So a lot of my strength work, for example, if I'm doing strength work on the bike, I can find some really steep mountain bike hills. And kind of work my way up them.
I definitely think mountain biking makes you good at climbing because it's like if you don't pedal hard, you literally won't make it up it. So it's a good incentive to keep pushing.
you will fall over and you'll roll all the way back down again. Yeah, so, I mean, I think road sort of gives you the ability to do more consistent efforts. Like I think with a lot of the trails I've got around here, you don't sort of have the ability to hold a consistent gradient for a long period of time. Like a lot of big fire trail climbs have water bars where you have to put in a massive effort and then it sort of dips a bit and followed by another massive effort. And so mountain biking is definitely more on and off, whereas road bike, you can sort of hold a consistent power. So again, it depends on the outcome of the session. But I think having both disciplines just gives you more flexibility. And I think I probably like the fact that mountain biking gives me a bit more of a whole of body workout too. So I definitely find if I've been riding my road bike for an extended period of time, I get back on the mountain bike, I can notice that my arms feel a bit weaker and that my core's a bit weaker. Whereas sort of doing that sort of mountain bike work means that particularly sort of core and balance tends to improve naturally.
You're definitely engaging sort of more muscles. Off-road,
yeah, and that definitely helps when you get back on road.
Yes,
and I think the confidence that riding a mountain bike gives you in terms of your bike handling definitely helps on road as well.
Yeah, and you raced the other weekend at a 4-hour, was it?
Yeah. So I took the slightly soft option. I did a pairs 4-hour, but it was great actually just to pin a number.
And was
on
that
again
your? Yeah, was that your first sort of post, during COVID race?
Second. So a local club, a club up here, Western Sydney Mountain Bike Club, ran a, it was sort of like a little bit of a mountain bike time trial race almost a couple of weeks before that. So they had a relatively small number of people. So it was a pretty easy event to run from a sort of social distancing COVID restrictions perspective. But they got all the right approvals and they ran a little race where they sent us off in sort of 30-second increments. So that was an interesting dynamic. That was a complete shock to the system, not having raced my bike since probably February. I was like, my heart rate hasn't been that high for that long for quite some time. There's nothing like racing to bring out that sort of shock. And then sort of going into, I did a Rocky Trail event They run a whole lot of events in New South Wales and Queensland now. Did that up at on the Central Coast, and yeah, that was great. Just good to be with sort of the racing crowd again, and have people flying around a trail at high speed and just having a good time. So yeah,
definitely
good to get back into it again. And I saw your partner Aiden did really well for a his Bridge Lane kit.
We don't need to talk about him. Yeah. So my partner Aiden, he's a road cyclist as well, but he's recently taken up mountain biking pretty much during COVID, and he's truly hooked. He's got the gravel bug.
Yeah, it's become the thing to do. It's really cool seeing people pick up mountain bikes and pick up gravel bikes for that matter, and sort of go beyond where they'd normally be going and go on these massive adventure rides and see places and things that they wouldn't see otherwise. So I've definitely seen a lot more people getting a lot more involved in gravel riding and mountain biking, and yeah, it's exciting. Yeah,
there's definitely something, I don't know, relaxing about gravel. Mm. Like, you know, even what you wear becomes a bit more relaxed. It's not as, you know, matchy-matchy as it has to be on the road, or I don't know. It's just this funny unspoken mentality that as soon as you're on a mountain bike, or as soon as you're, you know, off-road, all those unwritten rules just disappear.
Yeah.
And you feel it. You just feel so free.
Yep. Do not apply. Does not matter what you're wearing.
Does not matter.
Or how many bittens you're carrying.
Yeah. Black socks are essential though.
Did you learn that the hard way? Or
I learned that the hard way. I have sacrificed a couple of white socks, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yes, I think we've all learned that lesson.
Yeah. Anyway, you've been to Africa, you're from Sydney. What's your favorite place to ride?
Good question. I'll probably go top three places to ride. And they're all sort of different ends of the world. So the first one was and in no particular order, but I'm gonna go, Canada is amazing. So I did a race in Canada once called called BC Bike Race.
Yeah.
And that was all around sort of Vancouver and Vancouver Island up to Whistler. Amazing part of the world. Amazing trails, lots of variation in the race. So riding on Vancouver Island is very different to riding sort of up in Whistler and around North Van. But yeah, just unbelievable race, unbelievable crowd, unbelievable terrain, and sort of, you know, being on ferries and watching little seaplanes fly over. And some people even got to go on the seaplane. I wasn't that lucky, but I think that's up there with sort of, I would absolutely jump at the chance to do that race again, or to do more riding in Canada. So that's up there. Sort of tacking across continents, Wales is an unbelievable place to ride.
I didn't realize you were so well traveled. I was
I know. Yes. Wales. So I've done a fair bit of riding in the Afan Forest. And then sort of up into North Wales, there's some amazing bike parks there, and it's pretty wet, but the trails are just built to sustain that. And I just had so much, I didn't do any racing up. Actually, no, I did one XCO race, but I didn't, I just spent a lot of time there riding, just before jumping over to Europe for a bit of a racing stint. And, just had such a great time. And Wales is a pretty unique country, like going to places like Cardiff and stuff. That was, I had no idea what they were saying the whole time.
I was about to say, I was like, did you need a translator or?
Pretty much. I'm like, why does every word have lots of Y's and G's in it? I don't understand. Yeah. But the hot tip is the dragon curry is the goods. So,
And that's mammal free.
Yes, you can get a mammal free version. But sort of at the end of sort of a big day race, riding your bike around Wales, having a hot dragon curry, is the goods. So that was an awesome experience. And then I think back down in Australia, I find it really hard to choose. I absolutely love riding in Derby in Tasmania. So we had two Marathon Champs races down there. 2 years in a row we did Marathon Champs there, and I loved it. Well, there were times when I wasn't loving it, but let's just say I loved every moment of riding in Tasmania. And I love the community they've built there and how they've managed to take what was a pretty dead town and make it into a place that people want to go and spend money and sort of revive the community. So I love Tassie, but I think my favorite place to ride in Australia would have to be Alice Springs, just because you wouldn't think it, but the trails are amazing. There's so many of them. They're super fun, like great single track. The community is unreal. So like everyone's your mate in Alice Springs. You'll just be out riding and suddenly there'll be all these people around, and it's just they're all so friendly. And I think for me, just being out in the middle of nowhere and in the desert, there's something kind of calming and spiritual about Alice Springs too that I kind of connect with as well. So like when you go to Alice Springs, you literally feel like you have escaped the world. So to go out there with your bike, and you can be like 2Ks from town and just feel like you're in the middle of the desert. The good thing is usually you can always see one of the radio towers from wherever you are. So it's very hard to get lost if you always know to follow the red flashing light on top of Mount Gillon. But Alice Springs, I'd have to say, sort of trails, community, level of fun, and just the way it sort of takes you completely out of Sydney and life and corporate world and busyness, and you just go to the complete opposite, is just, I love it. I usually go up 2 or 3 times a year. Unfortunately, at the moment, I'm kind of, the NT government has blocked me and many others, but I'm pretty keen to get up there as soon as I can, to be honest.
Yeah, God, that was I'm sold.
Yeah. Everyone.
Wow, I just feel like I'm in a trance listening to that.
Get me to
Alice Springs.
Yeah. Not to mention, you were saying before, Canberra was -7 this morning. Alice Springs, warm.
Warm. That's what we want.
Maybe in the middle of winter it's a bit cold in the mornings, but just generally, yeah, not -7 at lunchtime.
That's the dream. Yeah.
What about you? I mean, I was sort of, I started mountain biking and everybody in Sydney was always talking about how good Canberra is, and used to go down and kind of just do days at Stromlo. So drive down really early, spend the whole day at Stromlo, and then drive home just completely cooked. But you guys have got heaps of riding now, like Bruce Ridge.
Oh, yeah. We are truly spoiled down here. I'm pretty lucky myself. I live 3 minutes from Mount Stromlo, and that's riding time as well. It's 3 minutes and I'm on single track. And
amazing.
Like Stromlo, you know, they've obviously pumped a lot of money into there to make these amazing, fun, like single track. You've got a range of flowy trails to super technical courses that they use for the World Cup a couple of years ago. And yeah, so Stromlo is sort of the pinnacle. And then you've got a mix of pine forest, which is totally different riding again, in Madura and Cowan. And then there's lots of little sort of pockets of single track that have popped up in between suburbs. So yeah, we've got like Bruce Ridge and Isaacs, and yeah. We're pretty lucky. Like
so much.
And I guess like where I grew up as well, back in the Southern Highlands, I always feel really nostalgic about the tracks that I started on. I think everyone always has that, you know, passion towards their home trails, and the Southern Highlands sort of tracks will always be really special to me.
Yeah, that's so nice. That's so nice.
And then hopefully when the travel restrictions have lifted, I can get to Canada and Wales and Alice Springs. And that's what I love about it. There's just endless, you know, places to go and explore and to see. And that's what I love about, you know, the off-road stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Alice Springs probably looking more likely than maybe some of the international destinations, but yeah, no, you're right. There's so much to explore all over the world from a mountain biking perspective. Like I probably haven't even scratched the surface. There's, you know, heaps of amazing races. heaps of amazing riding. Like even just in New Zealand, I've done a race over there called the Pioneer, which was when I did it.
Brutal.
Brutal. Yeah. I had a pretty good year. I had a pretty dry year and we had a pretty good course. The last one that ran I heard was more brutal than the one I did. But yeah, like around Queenstown, amazing riding. North Island, amazing riding. So even just popping over to New Zealand, there's heaps
to
do.
Hop over the ditch.
Hop over the ditch. It's quicker.
The ditch, bro.
Quicker than going to Perth, I think.
Exactly.
It's funny, I go to Perth more than I go to New Zealand to ride my bike, which, I mean, Perth's cool, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next on the cards for you? It's sort of hard to have a goal or have focus, but, you know, do you have much thoughts for next year and what you want to do in Australia or?
Yeah, at the moment, all my
too hard.
Yeah, all my plans are just. I think after the first wave of COVID started to subside, I think, and some races started to pop up again. Like, I think the NRS sort of said, "Oh, here's a calendar," and some of the mountain biking events sort of popped up and said, "We're going to run." And I got really excited and sort of, you know, I'd sort of had venom back, and I was training hard and. And then
you got your new bike.
Got my new bike. Everything was turning up briny. And then, I think second wave and everything's kind of shut down again, which is pretty disappointing. But now at the moment, I've got nothing. I've got no plans. I've got a wall calendar and it's literally empty.
Perfect.
So I'm, you'd think it would make me really calm. It doesn't at all. So I'm just going to chase little local races and just do them, but no stress. Like I think the training's kind of backed off again in terms of there's not too much on the horizon. So
yeah,
no point flogging yourself unless you really want to. So I'm just kind of taking it pretty easy.
It's the perfect opportunity to scout out a new adventure and.
That's right.
Ride somewhere new.
Locally. Go long, enjoy it, see new things.
Exactly.
Less 40-20 efforts and more adventure rides.
So good.
So good. What about you? Have you sort of same boats or?
Very similarly. I set some little mini goals of races that I was going to target to kickstart, you know, the whole training thing again. I've obviously kept riding and doing lots of things, but no intensity. But now that there's not much on the horizon, I'm just going to keep the strength ticking over and keep things long and fun and ride when I want to and not ride when it's minus seven.
I am out.
I am out.
You know what? Gonna roll over. No drama.
Yeah.
I think in Sydney it's fine when it's cold. It doesn't get that cold. It's fine when it's wet, but when you get cold and wet, it's just not, it's not a good time.
Yeah. I feel like half the focus of this podcast has been how cold it is in Canberra and how good Alice Springs is.
Alice Springs is insane. So yeah, I'll be devastated if everyone travels to Alice Springs and I can't get accommodation though. So everyone just stay cool. Make sure
that it's not that good. That's when you go like, it's actually not that good, guys.
Did I say good? I meant not that good.
I mean, okay, mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was good to chat. Good to catch up.
Good to see your dressing gown.
Oh, I wish this was actually no. I don't wish this was a video podcasting, if that even exists.
I certainly am pleased it's not.
Thanks again for joining me, the Love Women Cycling Podcast. Your feedback is always welcome and we'd love to know who you'd like featured on the podcast. Message me, Nick Morig, on Instagram at Black Sheep Cycling with any ideas, suggestions or feedback. We look forward to seeing you again soon.